My name is Jeremiah Aiken. I'm going to be talking about failures in open data centers and government transparency. I was originally going to give this talk with Jim March of Black Box Voting, but he had a minor injury to his leg, which prevented him from traveling. So he'll be fine, and he sends his apologies for not making it. So who am I? I worked for the Texas Comptroller's Office for about 3 years, ending last year. You can actually see my name on the business card if you squint hard enough. And I was the team lead of the data team in the public outreach division. So I was responsible for data integrity, data visualization. I pioneered some GIS work. All pretty fun stuff, but I eventually left. So there were a few reasons why I left. One, I know this may be hard to imagine, but government actually has a lot of bureaucracy in it, and it kind of wears on you moving that slow for that long. Another reason I left is actually tied to a presentation I gave at South by Southwest last year on behalf of the comptroller. It was a presentation on visualizing government data. And afterwards, I was contacted by a researcher from Harvard, which I thought was great news. But some of the people I worked for did not. In fact, there was a meeting call, and I was actually asked to research the researcher's political leanings. Specifically, I was asked to see if she was a liberal. And that didn't sit well with me. I don't think there's any valid reason for doing that. So soon after that, I left. So open data and open data centers. I'm sure most people here are kind of familiar with the concept of open data. It's basically data that belongs to the public that's available in formats that are easily processed by software. So an open data center would be a place where all these sets of files live. It's usually created by a government agency to make it easier to get those specific sets of data. This here is an example of the one that the Texas Comptroller created, and I actually sat in on that project while I worked there. So there's a lot of great uses for open data. Weather data saves lives. Hurricane forecasts let people clear out of town earlier. Floodplain data would be another great example of open data that's very useful. It lets you know how much insurance to buy, or better yet, where not to buy a house in the first place. But open data centers fail at one of their core goals. This here I picked out of the trash for my kids to play with. It's and it's from a presentation that Susan Combs gave on transparency, and she talks about the importance of seeing how your money is being spent, identifying inefficiencies and improper spending. Ironically, instead of just using a projector to put this up, she printed it out in full giant foam core. I thought that was kind of funny. So it's important to have information about how the government runs, and that's because sometimes the government tells you they're going to behave one way, and they really do something else. So, great victories for open data centers. There's a lot of great apps that have been made, a lot of great contests, but there's also some problems with them. And one of the most important problems, one of the biggest problems, is that they're essentially a self-audit. Government agencies get to pick which information they want to show you. And, you know, you're not going to get anything too useful out of that. Any journalists out there? Writers? Researchers? No. Okay. Researcher, we got one. So, imagine if a journalist had to do their job reporting on the government. Imagine if they were limited to only the data that the government handed them. We wouldn't get very good reporting. The same thing, people who work with apps and data visualization need to realize that the same thing applies to them, that if you only use the information that the government gives you, there's going to be a lot that's missing. This here, it's an article about anonymous leaking emails from a police department. Now, I've seen a lot of great apps and visualizations of crime data, but they're all based off of the official data that's given out. If you look at some of the emails that were going around in this police department, you can see there's a lot of horribly racist, homophobic, sexist stuff. Now imagine if you took a map of the visualized crime data and you applied some of this data to that. You're going to get a different story, especially if you're mapping data and heavily in an area with a lot of minorities. So, another issue is that not all waste can be spotted in CVS delimited files. Here's something else from the comptroller's trash. It's a nice big sign. Again, foam core, full color, announcing a hot dog and burger sale. I don't know, who made this, but they should learn about email because that's a lot cheaper. Also, even just if you really needed something, a big piece of paper and some markers would do wonders. We don't need giant, graphically intense, heavily designed things notifying you of a hot dog sale. So open data centers aren't showing you waste. And when you're in government, it's really unimaginable. It was much worse than I'd thought going in. I think that people who work there for a long time get acclimated, and they don't even realize what they're doing is waste. They don't even spot it. It just seems like normal behavior to them. There's a full page insert, for newspaper. This was designed by the comptroller's office, by the public outreach division, and it basically says that money grows on trees, and that's how they ran the department. And that was shipped out in the middle of the recession. So it shows, let's just say, they're a little out of touch. So I'm going to give you a small example of another small example, or maybe not so small example of waste. These giant fake checks that were printed out. This is part of the unclaimed property outreach effort. So what they would do is they'd go out and they'd have these events where they would give out checks to people who had unclaimed property. If you're not familiar with unclaimed property, it's basically money that's owed to you that you don't know about. For example, you move in a place, you put a gas deposit down, you move away a couple years later, you forget that you put the gas deposit down. The gas company doesn't have your current address, but they don't get to keep that money. They have to give it to the comptroller, and the comptroller is responsible for giving it back. So there were tons of these extra, extra large checks printed out. This is a small fraction of them. They, I know there was a speechwriter at the comptroller's office who has a chicken coop that's insulated with this kind of stuff. And you can see a nice boat that my kids made with them. And one thing I never got is I always thought these were kind of tacky, I guess some people like them, but I certainly don't like my tax money going to big giant checks that don't get used. Tying this back to the data center, I have a challenge, and that's use the comptroller's open data center to find out how much money the public outreach division spent on giant fake checks. If we're supposed to be able to spot, improper spending and waste, we should be able to do that with the open data center. So if anybody has that, let me know. I got $100 that says, by the end of South by Southwest, nobody can give me the answer to that question. And also, I'd like to ask you guys to take a second to tweet Susan Combs. That's the Texas Comptroller, is the official state Twitter account. Susan Combs is a personal one. Take a second, tweet, and let her know that we don't really need fake checks anymore. So, another problem. So, there's a nice story behind this email here. There were a whole bunch of emails that were leaked out from the Unclaimed Property database. While I worked at the comptroller's office, one of my projects allowed me access to the contents of the database and some of the code that was used to create the website for it. And while I was looking at this, I noticed that there were some pretty big problems, especially around validation. Basically, it was non-existent. So I brought this problem to the IT department and pointed out that it was actually a security risk, because if your data is not validated correctly, you could have information like social security numbers show up in an address field and and then people could access that through the web app. The IT department laughed at me and said, no, that's not possible. Can't, won't happen. And if it does, it's not our fault, because people would have, submitted the data incorrectly. So I took a look at the contents of the database and actually found out that there were email addresses being shown in an address column. They decided to clean that up because there's a policy against giving out email addresses. I think a good policy. I don't like getting spam, and I don't want the government handing out people my email addresses. So after they were cleared up, there was people were notified that their private data was leaked, and that never happened. They never mentioned it. So they just kind of covered up, didn't cover up. They failed to mention that privacy leak. So what's the big deal? It's just email addresses. We get spam anyway, right? Well, because people weren't notified, nobody made any complaints about the system, which means that we skipped a chance to take a look at it. And later on, that same system was involved in the largest data leak in Texas history, where 3.5 million people had their birthdays, social security numbers, addresses, all leaked out. So we missed a chance to investigate because we didn't communicate. We weren't transparent about the state of the application or of the data that we had or how we handled the data. And I really wish that the comptroller's office would learn this lesson. And it's basically private data should never be stored in plain text ever. There's no excuse. Hopefully they'll stop. So there was this, big problem, giant data leak, social security numbers everywhere. And, And of course, there was an investigation, to find out what went wrong. Susan Combs hired Deloitte Consulting and CSI Identity to, really dig in and see what the problems were. These were both companies that had donated to Combs' political campaign. When you have people who have a political interest and you stay in an office doing the investigation, it's not really an investigation anymore. And so afterwards, another part of the solution was to have a top-level bureaucrat inside the comptroller's office get hired. There was a new position created. The problem with this is that this was somebody who could be fired by Susan Combs. So you're going to get a privacy policy that is exactly what she wants, and you're not going to have any teeth in enforcing it because Susan Combs can actually remove that person. So, I'm all for enforcing privacy laws and privacy policies, but it needs to be done at a different level. It needs to be done by somebody who can actually take action against Combs, not somebody who Combs can get rid of once, if she's unhappy. So how do we fix this? There's a few things. First of all, transparency needs to be more than just an agency giving out files that they want you to look at. There's a law. It's referred to as 508. So you may have heard 508 compliance, and that's basically means that an application is accessible by handicapped people, blind people, people with poor vision. So we need something like that for open data. Applications are created by government need to, by default, produce data in an open form and put it in a place where people can grab it. The agency shouldn't be deciding which information should be viewed and which information should. And another thing, without better whistleblower protection, we're just not going to make any inroads into stopping government waste. There's so much that goes on, and if you're inside government, you see it, but you don't know how to ask for it otherwise. There's this is notes from a meeting. It's a timeline. There were about six people in this meeting. Pass these out. And it's all the timeline's all wrong. It's a visualization of when we're supposed to launch a project. There's no way that you would know to ask for this. If you're not there, so you're going to basically need people from the inside being able to report what they see, and without better whistleblowing protection, that's not going to happen. People shouldn't get to pick who investigates them. That's not actually an investigation. And most importantly, I think, is to use open records requests to get data. Don't rely solely on open data centers. Open records requests can get you information that the politicians don't want you to see, the stuff they're not proud of. And again, we need privacy laws enforced by people outside of agencies. Okay, so this brings me to Jim's portion of the talk. And his is on electronic voting. There's, if you go to YouTube and just look up hacking electronic voting machines, you can see tons of examples. there's not really a question anymore about whether or not those machines can be hacked. You can see a lot of evidence. But I'm not going to talk about, you know, their security or, you know, the tests that they supposedly go through. I want to talk about transparency or how elections officials make it seem like there's transparency in, with electronic voting machines. Now, the primary problem with electronic voting machines is that you can't watch a computer count votes. It just can't be done. If you could see, you know, the inner workings that are that small, you couldn't see how fast, you know, how fast they move. So it's kind of akin to taking a bunch of, you know, paper ballots into a closed room, counting them there without letting anybody watch, and then posting the results out. That's really what a computer does. You take, you know, the bag of ballots, which is you know, a little memory cartridge. You stick it in the computer, which is a closed room, and, you know, later on you come out and you display the results on a screen or a printout. You can't actually watch anything happen. But election officials would like you to think that you can. They, you know, if you go and watch the tabulation at a county office, which I encourage everybody to do at least once, you'll go in and you'll be brought into a observation room. So it's, you know, the name of it is, you know, nice observation room. You're observing something, but you really see something like this. This is from Riverside County, California, where I grew up. And there's kind of a glare because there's a piece of glass there that reflects the flash. And you can see right here, that's a cartridge reader. They put these cartridges in. They put results on these screens that it's, you know, you can't see the result from, and then they come out and they tell you what the results are. But they still dress it up. There's still some theater around it. They still dress it up and act like they provide a place to observe. You know, so that's kind of a transparency theater that goes on. And, you know, there's a great summary about issues with electronic voting machines on black box voting. I'll post the link to the slides later if you can't get that. There's the slides there. So, sorry, the second part's a little thin, but so I'm open to questions. It's a pretty small group, so if you guys actually want to come up and dig through some of the stuff I brought, feel free to do that too. Any questions? No. Yeah. That's a great question and a great point. And no, I don't think so. I think you basically have to start off phishing. So send an email, you know, if you want to know about a certain project, just ask about, you know, send open records request for emails on that project. Then you can see, you know, maybe from those emails you can see who, you know, the project managers were. You know, issues that might have come up that you can actually dig deeper on, but that's a very difficult one, and that's one of the reasons why we need better whistleblowing protection laws. Yeah. Yeah.
Given that there are laws governing open data, are you saying that laws are actually being broken that state that people are hiding data then?
Well, Well, it's available if you make an open records request. In the open data centers, there's no law saying, you know, which data sets you have to put in there. So that's why you should use the open records request, because there are laws that can enforce that. But if you just look at what's prepped for you, what they want you to look at, you're gonna be missing a lot, because that's essentially a self audit. The privacy, I believe they've hired a privacy person, and Deloitte has had long contracts with Susan Combs beforehand, and those should actually be taken, you know, somebody needs to really take a look at those too, because there's a lot of overruns in those contracts. But basically everybody who was there before is still there. There were a couple of people who were fired, I didn't see any major. I was there for a few months afterwards, and I didn't see any major difference in how operations were handled. There were, security issues, let's call them, before that were not fixed. Even ones that had caused people to lose their job, the security issues would not be fixed later on. So, yeah. And you can also just start looking at projects. Let me see if I can pull up. Did I bring that? So if there's a project that's announced or something like that, Susan Combs likes to make press releases. She actually makes websites for every particular issue she wants to give a press release for. But there's this Get a Life project, okay? And it basically encourages kids to stay in school. Why the comptroller is involved in that is a mystery to me, because we have a Texas Education Department that I think would do that. But if you see a project like this, you can just start asking questions about it. Like this one, I know, for example, if you started asking questions, you could find out that there was an interview with, what's her, Chloe Dow from Project Runway. You know, so there was a trip, they, you know, scheduled time with her, they interviewed her, and that never actually made it to the website. So you can't see it by looking at the website, but if you start asking questions, you could see, you know, there's a big chunk of waste, you know, for that project that just went nowhere. So, yeah.
I know you mentioned before the 15,000 email addresses that were being, do you know how those were stored, like in a third-party data storage?
No, they were stored. It's just a regular SQL database. They were just the problem was that the application doesn't validate data correctly when it inserts data. So it has to deal with how they get the data and how they insert it into the database. That's where the problem was.
So the data was actually stored securely, but the error was in transmitting the data.
No, it was stored insecurely because it's private data and it's plain text, and it was stored in a field that allowed you to query it. So if you go look for unclaimed property, there's on the Texas Comptroller's website, there's a web page, and you can do searches on it, and if you did the right search, you'd get an email address in an address field. So, and it was also given to another organization. Let me see. missing money. So unclaimed property is done by each state, and there's an organization that basically makes one site where you can go query all the states. So every month we send money to missing money. We send data to missing money. That data was also sent to missing money too. Yeah, if the data had actually been stored securely, it had been encrypted, it wouldn't have mattered because you would just got, junk that nobody would be able to read. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, the problem with open data centers is universal with open data centers because, from federal down to city level, there's no regulations about what needs to go in them. So open data centers are self audits the whole way down. Other examples of Texas agencies that deal with data incorrectly. For example, when information was sent, all the taxpayer information, 3.5 million records, that was gathered from other agencies, and it was transmitted using secure FTP, but the files themselves weren't encrypted. It's very difficult to find any government agency that has anything like a PGP key that allows you to encrypt something before you submit it. There's a lot of problems in government. Government IT is not cutting edge. So, despite what you see in 24. On the votes? Well, they tell us, yeah. But, it'd be nice if we could actually investigate and see. We're not allowed to. It's usually third party, which actually makes it harder. There's, because, a company like Sequoia Voting Systems or Diebold will... or global elections, what they'll do is develop the software and then essentially rent it to different counties. And so the counties can't even look at the software. It's actually in contract. You will not investigate what's going on inside this black box. It's third party, but it's been poorly, demonstrated on the internet, hundreds of times. It's not very secure, not very good, not done very well. So, anything else? No. Okay. Well, I'll stick around if you have any other questions or anything. Yeah. Thank you.